You're listening to Morning Edition on WPSU. I'm Mel DeYoung. In 1955, Chuck Felton was 17, president of his senior class at Towanda Valley High School in northeastern Pennsylvania, with plans to attend Penn State. Then he was diagnosed with tuberculosis, TB, at the time one of the world's deadliest diseases. He was sent to a state TB sanatorium in Crescent, where he stayed for 16 months. It was an experience he will never forget. WPSU's Patty Satalia talks with the retired aerospace engineer, now living in Texas, about life at the SAN.
In 2008, Charles Felton began to talk about something that he'd largely pushed out of his mind for more than 50 years.
I decided to put a small website out on the internet documenting some of my experiences when I was in the Crescent TB Sanatorium back in 1955.
Crescent was one of three state-run TB facilities where those stricken with the deadly disease were quarantined and treated. Patients called it the SAN. Located on a mountaintop between Johnstown and Altoona, the site assured patients plenty of clean, fresh air. Andrew Carnegie sold the 500 acres of pristine woodlands to the state for $1 with the express purpose of building a TB facility. Felton remembers the drive to the sand like it happened yesterday.
It was really quite a depressing trip. My dad was driving, I was in the front seat, and my mother was in the back seat. And the whole way down there, I had to wear one of those white gauze masks over my mouth. And I even remember thinking, I'm glad I had that mask on to protect them. But it also meant I really didn't have to talk, because I am certain that my folks thought that they were taking me on a one-way trip.
In the sanatorium's nearly 50 years of operation, an estimated 40,000 patients were admitted for treatment. And with TB, that wasn't a matter of days, weeks, or even months. It was literally years, if patients were going to recover at all. The first successful drug against TB, streptomycin, was used in the early 1940s. And by 1955, when Felton was admitted, a number of new anti-TB drugs had been developed. At 17, Felton was the youngest patient in his ward of 15 men, average age 60.
Now, there were like almost 500 men altogether, but in your one ward, these were the 15 guys you spent all 24 hours a day with. So they told me, you know, where they were from, whether they were married, how many children. And the last thing I asked them was, how long have you been here? 3 months, 6 months, a year and a half, 2 years. And then the last guy told me, I've been here since 1941. Now, this was in 1955, and so I thought about those numbers and didn't say it out loud, but I thought, my God, this man has been here since I was 3 years old. Of course, this guy looked like a concentration camp survivor. My second thought was, I wouldn't want to be in here and survive 14 years in this place. Of course, now that I'm 73, I have a totally different perspective.
And of course, all these men you're surrounded by are sick, and some of them very sick.
That's true. There were two sections to the sanatorium. If you came in and you had active TB bacillus germs in your lungs, in your sputum, then you were confined to the wards with 8 beds down one side, 8 beds down the other, and a nice wide aisle in between. And whether it took 8 months, 2 years, 3 years for your TB to become inactive, you stayed there. And I was in pajamas, robe, and slippers for the first year. All you were expected to do was give your lungs total rest.
Life at the SAN was regimented. Days on end consisted of meals, medicine, and bed rest. Mandatory nap time meant no reading, no writing, no nothing. At bedtime, it was lights out at 9 o'clock.
When you have TB, there are 4 basic symptoms. One is a low-grade fever and deep, deep fatigue. And the third is coughing all the time. And the fourth is actually spitting up blood, which is the worst symptom of all.
Some of the men in those 16 beds you described might get wheeled out in the middle of the night because they'd start coughing and hemorrhaging, and the next day there was an empty bed.
Yes, people could die at the sand very quickly and unexpectedly. And I didn't see this until I'd been there about 2 months. We went to bed at 9 o'clock, and all of a sudden, the lights are on, and I hear people yelling and feet rushing into the ward there. And down near the end, one of the guys is sitting up in bed, coughing and coughing and coughing, his blood spurting out of his mouth all over his white bedspread, and he was literally drowning in his own blood. And in 20 seconds, it's all over. Our adrenaline is all pumping, you know. You put your head down, you try to settle down, and finally you go to sleep. And then you wake up at normal time, and there's a new bed, clean sheets, and Joe's not there. I've always said it was kind of like a war zone in that sense that people were dying, and you never knew who was going to get hit by that next shell.
When Felton started his website, the idea was to create something to share with his grown son and daughter, who never really understood what he went through. He wrote a couple of pages about his experience, added some pictures of himself there, and later some old postcards that he found of the Crescent Sanatorium.
To my surprise, within about 2 weeks, I started getting emails and phone calls and letters from former patients, nurses that worked there, staff, orderlies. And I also heard from a lot of children of patients that had died there. I think it just shows their time at this sanatorium had such a deep emotional impact on their lives.
Tomorrow during Morning Edition, you'll hear about the San Reunion organized by Chuck Felton. It brought together more than 125 people, mostly former patients and staff, to reminisce, share stories, and in some cases, bury ghosts. I'm Patty Satalia, WPSU.
To see pictures of the Crescent TB Sanatorium and read remembrances written by former patients and staff, check the links at our website, WPSU.org.